You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There is a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791. I'm talking real fast like Joe Biden did.
This is a special post-State of the Union 2024 episode of The Professional Left.
And it is, as always, recorded live from the Court of the Resistance, where we watch the whole damn thing. And I watched enough of the Republican response to know that someone somewhere has made a terrible, terrible mistake. It's The Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal. Da, 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 da. Yep.
We are recording this on Friday after Joe Biden's 2024 State of the Union address. We weren't gonna, and then we got a lot of requests to do this, and so we made some notes while eating. We went to lunch at Luganen's. We did. We couldn't wait, and wrote it off by recording all of the notes for this podcast over lunch. So this was a business lunch, and that's how we justified it. It was good. We just had sandwiches. It was very good. We know all the tricks for how you keep lunch inexpensive.
Yeah.
Order a sandwich, order water, and
coffee.
And then,
don't forget coffee.
And then conduct business at the table.
We did.
Yes.
It's not the first time we've done
that. I'm not lying. We really did that.
It's not the first time we've done this, I must say. You know, we have often gone to a restaurant or a local eater, usually a diner, in case you're from the Washington Post.
Usually a diner, though, right.
Yeah. So if you're from the New York Times or Washington Post looking to interview some non-Trump voters, you'll find us in a diner once or twice a week.
Yeah.
In fact, the same one that Mitt Romney held his press conference at.
True.
We're there on the regular. So, you know, we're not hard to find. You just don't want to talk to us.
That's a good, cheap place to eat, too.
It really is. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's kick this off. This is a little bit by the seat of our pants. So, you know, bear with us. This is from a friend of the pod named Stable Genius on Twitter. And Stable Genius writes me every so often to observe things and tell me stuff. And this is what Stable Genius had to say today. Every once in a while, there will be a human interest story about an old person who's attacked by a mugger. And it turns out that the old person is a fifth Dan judo black belt who's been teaching martial arts for decades and has trained several Olympians, so they're able to effortlessly put the mugger on the ground until the police arrived. That was last night's State of the Union address.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a perfect analogy. Perfect analogy.
Right, and that's the end of our podcast. We just want to let you know.
Well, no, he's been at this for 40 years.
Exactly.
And he absorbs it through his skin and it empowers him.
Right, exactly.
Joe Biden is enlivened and empowered by people.
Uh-huh.
I mentioned this to you when I was listening to Hal Sparks do the Hunter Biden deposition.
Right.
And as he's talking about his life, Hunter Biden is saying constantly, well, I had lunch with this person and I had a meeting with this person. And Hunter Biden, is with people
all day,
12 hours a day, meeting with people. And you and I, you know, had a wonderful lunch few days ago with two podcast listeners.
Yes.
A lovely time and went to a great old bookstore.
Huh?
And it was a fantastic day. We just had a great time with these folks.
Yes, we did.
And then we were on our way home, and I'm just like, that is all the socializing I can do.
Yeah,
this
I'm done
weekend.
Now. All the lovely people.
We had a fantastic. I'm not saying it wasn't fun. We had a fantastic time, but it hit my level of human interaction with people other than Driftglass, because we like being together and we like being alone. And then I thought about Hunter Biden and all of the meetings he had, and Joe Biden is that times three.
Yeah, exactly.
And he loves it. They had to dim the lights
to get him out of
the House chamber to get him out of there.
Because
he wants to meet everybody.
The bar is closing, sir. Not the first time I've been kicked out of a bar.
I'm talking to the interns now. They're having a good, they want some selfies. What am I going to do? So,
Well, and remember, this is also, you know, where he grew up. This is his house. This is where he knows everybody.
Yeah.
And he has trod the boards of the Congress,
especially in the Senate,
for decades. He knows every. He really is somebody compared to Harry Truman, I think. Mm-hmm. And it really is, you know, he knows all these people. And this is
actually
his, this
Peggy
is his...
Noonan said it was a give 'em hell Harry speech. Yeah. And for once, I agree with her.
Yeah. Well, that was the nature of the speech. But the venue was like going back to your
like LBJ. It was
the place of your greatest triumphs. And, you know, you want me to stand up here and talk to all the people who half of whom will cheer me, half of whom will squirm. And I get off on sort of the back and forth, the feisty give and take.
Mm-hmm.
My jam. Of course I'm going to do okay.
Right.
So
anyway,
we have a letter from...
We had a letter from a listener last night about our podcast from Thursday, which is just yesterday.
We should mention, we really do read everything.
We read everything. We read everything you send. Yeah. We do. And talk about it. Yeah. And, you know, youngest child called this afternoon thinking she'd have all day to talk to her mother. I said, we're going to podcast again this afternoon.
What?
She said,
Why?
Look, all right. So, yes, podcast, we got this email.
It's podcast first, children second. That's just the way things are.
Well, they know what buys their Lunchables. So
I know.
Heard from listener Paul, and he wrote and said, I'm in the middle of your latest podcast, and you're back and forth about whether Nikki Haley voters will vote for Trump was very interesting. Of course, I would like to add to it. Blue Gal pointed out that every woman has known a Trump type in her life, implying that such a woman would not vote for him. However, plenty of them did in 2016 and 2020. And Paul, you're absolutely right.
Yep.
Presumably, their attitude was boys will be boys. Mm-hmm. Locker room talk. What are you going to do? I mean, and women of a certain generation absolutely have that attitude. My mother had that attitude about lots of things, but she absolutely had that attitude about men will wander. Absolutely. Presumably their attitude will be boys. Driftglass worried that they'd inevitably vote Republican regardless.
Yeah. Most of 99%. Yeah.
Well, how about this? This is Paul writing. Before Dobbs and the IVF decision, Republican women could persuade themselves that they personally weren't under attack. It was somebody else. Now there are Republican women suffering through near-death pregnancies and Republican women possibly being deprived of IVF. Alabamian Republican women. Good Baptist Republican Alabamian women.
Who want babies.
Who want babies, who love babies. Mm-hmm. And are very sentimental about babies. And that's been the single issue vote. You know, the single issue voter in the Republican Party is, you know, 10 to 1 an abortion voter. So again, Paul writing, don't you think that might either swing a large number of Republican women either to Biden or to stay home?
Yeah.
And I wrote back and said, yeah, it might be personal that way. And then I remember the massive number of anecdotes you hear from abortion clinics, from Planned Parenthood clinics, where people who are protesting outside the clinic come in for care when it's them.
What's
come
that?
In and get it taken care of as quickly and quietly and depend on, you know, the privacy they give everyone, they'll give to me.
That's right.
And then they go right back out and, you know, protest or shout insults on their way out the door from getting a procedure.
Yeah.
Because it's rape, life of the mother, and, you know, my personal situation or my daughter's personal situation. She's in college. She's going to Bible camp. We can't possibly have this.
We need to take a weekend shopping trip to Atlanta.
The $400 weekend shopping trip to Atlanta. That's what it was in Birmingham. And I lived there. Yeah. As I said to Paul, I never underestimate the ability of Republicans to delude themselves.
Right.
And that's when I started thinking and I realized, and I hadn't thought about this yesterday, that Republicans and Haley voters particularly might stay home. Not so they avoid voting for Trump, but so that they avoid voting for Biden.
Yeah.
Especially after last night's speech.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that he is fully capable of running this country.
Mm-hmm.
That he has the energy and the drive, and clearly his brain is connected.
Yeah.
And he's successful and he's having fun doing it. All of that. And they might, you know, risk their Republican cred and their souls or whatever it is, their self-identity, by walking into that voting vote booth and saying, well, I can't vote. I have to vote. I can't vote for Trump and I'll I might vote Democrat. I can't do that. So I'll stay home.
Yeah.
And I hadn't thought of it that way. I hadn't thought of it as I'll stay. I was always thinking I'll stay home and then I won't have to vote for Trump. But I think it's really they'll tell themselves the other story that I won't have to vote for Biden. I won't have to hold my nose and vote for Biden if I stay home.
And
that's a disaster for the Republican Party all the way down the ballot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's one reason that Jamie Harrison this morning was just very, very happy. Mm-hmm. Happy about Laura Trump now being co-chair of the RNC.
Well, that's just awesome.
That's a gift. A grift and a gift.
And they keep doing this. The reason they keep doing this is they are secure in the knowledge that no matter what they do, if Mike Johnson had walked around the podium with a 2x4 and mm-hmm. kneecapped Joe Biden, he would have been applauded.
Yeah.
The base would have loved it. That they are secure in the knowledge that the base is so pot committed to their cult that they can't leave without destroying their personality. So no matter what they do, they'll find a way to rationalize their way to supporting them because Joe Biden's an 8-foot communist monster from the planet mm-hmm. Xenon. But, mm-hmm. But they saw him. And of course, most of them didn't see him, but a lot of them did. So I think you're right. There's a lot of some percentage of people are going to stay home because the temptation to vote for Biden might be too much for their little hearts.
And it might damage them mentally. Yeah. Yes. Well, yes. Or spiritually or whatever. Yeah.
And if you just look at Biden's first 10 minutes, first 10 minutes, man, just came out swinging. And it was firm. It was direct. It was unsparing. But it wasn't mean.
No.
It wasn't cruel. It wasn't angry. It was very much like, unhand that woman, you varlet. It was righteous. It was, how dare you, sir? How dare you insult this country with your behavior? Instead of that cruelty and pettiness that Donald Trump just oozes every time he opens his big fat mouth. And this put a serious dent in the Dems suck at messaging nonsense because Republicans don't know how to deal with it because there is a guy that they're running against named Joe Biden, who's senile and demented and can barely stand up and can't put two words together.
And is also history's worst villain.
Yeah. He's that's the Obama thing, right?
Yeah.
Obama was a craven, cowardly asshole who was going to, turn our country over to our enemies. And he was the secret mastermind of terrible plots against your white grandma. And that's, again, that woman who won't go to the polls. That's what her brain looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Half of her brain is convinced that Joe Biden is a doddering old fool. And half of her brain is convinced that he's the head of the biggest crime family in human history.
Right.
And she doesn't bother trying to reconcile those two because, in a certain way, that's what religion teaches you not to do.
Yeah.
It teaches you not to try to reconcile the Old and New Testament.
We have to have faith, in Donald Trump. We have to have faith in him. Yes. You hear that kind of language all the time. Yeah.
How can this be true and this be true in the Bible? And it's like, just it's faith. It's just you have to go with it. You just have to pray your way around it. And that's why you can't deal with the real Joe Biden face to face. That's why I think Donald Trump popped several bricks into his pants at the thought of debating Joe Biden because he wants to debate fictional Joe Biden.
Well,
the
and one you he's had, been talking you about. Had a theory about why he's pushing for a debate now when he knows he's not going to get one.
Yeah. Yeah. So he can turn him down later. So we can say, no, I already offered. Well, not until the actual candidacies are settled at the conventions is it appropriate
not
to debate.
Not until human beings are actually paying attention to the race. Right.
But this is a quote from poor doddering old Joe Biden. Now, my predecessor, a former Republican president, tells Putin, quote, do whatever the hell you want. That's a quote. A former president actually said that, bowing down to a Russian leader. I think it's outrageous, it's dangerous, and it's unacceptable. He talked about my predecessor like 7 or 8 times. Never mentioned Trump by name.
13 times.
Never mentioned Trump by name. Never used the word MAGA at all. Yep. But he's, he pointed out my predecessor tried to bulldoze the January 6th riot insurrection into the memory hole. And we're not going to let him do it because he did it right here in this room. They were here. They were in this building. And every one of you people know it. And some of you people collaborated with it. My predecessor failed as the one thing he needs to do. The one thing a president's supposed to do is keep you safe. He completely fucked up the pandemic. He lied about it. He began to rage across the entire country. The pandemic almost exactly 4 years ago, how you doing 4 years ago? Remember that? Remember that pandemic? And he had the bad taste to remind people that that was Donald Trump who did that.
Mm-hmm.
And his little his predecessor had done nothing about China. His predecessor had bragged about not doing anything about school shootings, telling people to get over it. Mm-hmm. And that was seeded throughout the speech. But the tone was set in the first 10 minutes where he mm-hmm. was like, I'm not here to fuck around. I'm not here to pretend that you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm here to talk to you like a grown up. And here's what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't he his voice was elevated, but he didn't scream at them. He didn't rant. He just very, very firmly and quickly said what was going on. And if that was it, once that had happened, everything started to shift. Yeah. Everything, the tone appreciably changed.
And I always think, you asked me at lunch about what was my expectation going into the speech.
Yeah.
Knowing that it's Biden and that it's going to be 10 to 11 minutes before he actually gets to the podium.
Uh-huh.
I always see these opportunities as good knitting time. But, you know, the first 10 minutes put to bed the Biden is too old talking point.
Uh-huh.
And the next 58 minutes or so took that talking point around the bend
uh-huh.
and put it around in the back of the shed and put it down like a rabid skunk, too.
Mm-hmm.
As did the next hour of Biden schmoozing with the crowd and enjoying himself.
Yeah, having a ball.
I didn't stay up for all of that. But Biden made an ice cream cone out of Republican fear sweat and ate the whole thing in front of them with a big Joe Biden smile on his face.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Now,
yes, he sure did.
The other thing that to me was fascinating was the overnight pivot on the right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how, by the way, the Hollywood Reporter says, quote, the State of the Union address draws 32 million viewers.
Oh, yeah.
Up double digits from last year.
Yep.
The president's annual speech to Congress improved by 18% over 2023. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that the reason it improved that much is because last year's speech was a humdinger.
It was. It was amazing.
And well, and it was fun to watch. And people
exactly.
saw clips of it mm-hmm. and people watched it later. And so this year they didn't want to not watch it live because
mm-hmm.
they remembered that, oh yeah, well, you know, that was a thing. And so let's watch it tonight because he's probably going to do the same thing or we'll see if he does.
Well, and I kind of wonder how many of those Republicans who bought the Joe is a doddering dementia patient guy
mm-hmm.
Tuned in to see him fall down in the orchestra pit and be led away by nurses.
Yeah. Well, he's Fox gonna... had the largest group of viewers.
Yeah.
And like, that goes along with, you know, this kind of event skews older, right. whiter, more educated in some regards. And, people that are political junkies watch this, of course.
But this was, I mean, I'm talking about the people who were thoroughly convinced that Joe Biden was
Yeah, that Romney's going to win in a landslide. It's that moment. Yes, right.
That the people who were convinced that Biden was going to show up to this speech mm-hmm. and fall on his ass.
Yeah,
because
right.
he can't put two words together.
Or that Marjorie Taylor Greene was going to show him.
Yes, or something. But they were firmly convinced that something bad for the Democrats is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We watch the liberals cringe as Joe Biden. And a bunch of I swear to you, probably tuned in just for that. They wanted to see the bad Democrat get it. From mm-hmm. like professional wrestling.
And right.
overnight, there had to be this huge pivot on the right from Joe mm-hmm. Biden is a doddering idiot to Joe Biden was shouting too loud and he's crazy. You can hear him crazy yelling. I heard it on the radio today when I was out running errands.
Oh, yeah.
That,
yeah.
you know, does he think that shouting will make people forget that he's got dementia and he's senile? And he must have been on drugs.
I heard that.
Some bitch from the Federalist was like,
yep.
you know, I wonder what they drugged him up on to make him this way. Because, well, of course, you know, when you work for...
While Trump is blowing out chunks of Adderall coming out of his nose during debates, right?
Well, when you work for Ben Dominic, I kind of wonder how much, you know, how much Fentanyl and Adderall's floating around that place. But they had nothing to say. They had their whole talking point universe stolen from them mm-hmm. by that bad man overnight. So what else are you going to say? Well... Joe Biden shouted too much. He talked too loud. Ari Fleischer just
Oh, yeah. You talk too fast. How dare you?
And Carl, and oh, not Carl, but I'm sorry. Frank Luntz was out there going, you know, this was like the worst I've ever seen. I can't believe it. And I tweeted back at him, like, you know, the man baby mentat on the right is losing his shit. He's going through some stuff because this was not supposed to happen.
Right.
This was not supposed to happen. Like you said, this was the Romney's going to win in a landslide thing.
In a landslide.
The right was set up to believe this was going to be a debacle. This was going to lock up, because this is the last major speech that Joe Biden will give before the convention, unless something happens. Mm-hmm. This is the big one. And they thought, he'll fuck it up. And Marjorie Taylor Greene will do her thing, and the shouty cracker peoples will do their thing, and will yell about illegals, and he won't be able to handle that, and he'll stumble. And Mike Johnson will just be up there looking proud and haughty and like Moses. And none of that happened.
Nope.
None of that happened. And it must have been so sad. In fact,
Mike Johnson looked like he had to poop.
Yeah. Well,
and the Biden campaign had their best fundraising hour.
Yeah.
During the 9 o'clock hour until the 10 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
And then they had their best fundraising hour during the 10 o'clock hour until the 11 o'clock hour. As soon as the speech was over on the East Coast, the money was flowing in. And on Twitter, you saw it. And we gave $5. Did I tell you that, Drift Class? We gave $5. We gave Joe Biden $5 last night.
All right.
For being a goddamn Democrat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And let me be clear. People, you know, are criticizing him on the right for giving a campaign speech. He didn't give a campaign speech. He gave a Democrat speech.
Right.
He gave a speech by a goddamn Democrat president.
Uh-huh.
And that's unapologetically.
Mm-hmm.
And that is great. That is how I want my president to talk. I wanted to talk about pre-K. Mm-hmm. And helping people with their mortgages and healthcare costs.
Yeah.
And he mentioned the Trump tax cuts expiring.
Yes, he did.
That is so key.
You're not supposed to do that.
To the billionaire class. Mm-hmm. They want to keep those tax cuts.
Uh-huh.
And they'll do anything to do it. We were talking also at lunch about I was just wondering, how is it possible that Mike Johnson and the House Republicans are putting together another cat food commission to find a way to cut Social Security and Medicare. And here's Rand Paul saying it out loud, and Nikki Haley and Tim Scott saying it out loud, and Rick Scott saying it out loud. They're all talking about, we have to do this. We have to cut entitlements. Don't you understand?
Uh-huh.
And it's like, it's not a death panel for Social Security. It's a death panel for your reelection chances.
That's right.
And you said, no. It's not, because Richard Uihlein or some other billionaire has told them to get this done or no check is coming in.
Right. No money for you unless you set up a commission to cut those moochers off of my teat.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know what this also wasn't? This wasn't Bill Clinton saying the era of big government is over.
No.
It was definitely not that. I mean, people forget that after that he said, and the era of smart government is not, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But this was not Democrats retreating from Democratic positions. This was, and that's why it freaked them out, because they're not used to hearing that. They're used to hearing somebody triangulating and trying to compromise, trying to pretend that there isn't a massive, dangerous division between the two parties, and the Republicans are fucking nuts. And, you know, we were listening on you and I were listening because we voted today, by the way.
Oh, and then we went out and voted for Joe Biden.
We did.
I didn't look at your ballot, but, you know, you have my voter registration card in your wallet because that's how ladies should be. Right, Drip Glass?
I opened mine up and scratched out Marianne Williamson and wrote in Joe Biden because, you know, we had our ballots sitting by the front door and for days because we were waiting for youngest child to vote. And we take them all over together, like the 2,000 mules that we are. and because we have drop boxes here, because we're a civilized country in Illinois.
Right.
But I wasn't sure about voting for Joe Biden until I heard that speech last night.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We both voted early, but we hadn't taken them over yet. And today we did.
Today we decided to tell you. But on the way over, we listened to right-wing radio.
You had on right wing radio, and I turned it off as you were dropping off our ballots because I couldn't stand it anymore. Did.
And it was a guy named Josh Crasher or something. He's a he's a Fox
Crack
guy.
Hour?
No, not Krakauer. It's Crasher. There's a John Krakauer who wrote the book about Everest.
Everest, right?
And other wonderful books. It's not that guy. It's not that guy. It's a Fox News guy. who's like got experience at CNN. So the local DJ's asking him, or whoever's playing on WMAY at that time, tell us about what it's like over at CNN, you know? Well, you know, Matt Taibbi used to be considered lefty and, you know, used to be a lefty bomb thrower, but then he started telling the truth and now he can't get on CNN. Because, you know, over there, you know, you got to be.
Don't care about truth over there, or journalism at all.
In fact, you know, the only place you can do journalism is on the right wing. And it's just, you have to go where the facts lead you. That's all we ever do over here on the right wing. And I thought about that when I thought about the Joe Biden speech. Joe Biden gave a Democratic speech by a Democratic president. It just sounded like a political speech because these assholes haven't heard somebody say that to their face in a venue where they couldn't run away or change the fucking channel forever.
Right.
And he did it and it freaked them out. And I think there's the we talked about this a little bit, the oh shit factor.
Yep.
Which
the Biden campaign has been predicting would happen.
Yep. Because there are – and I thought I had as cynical an attitude towards the average voter as you could have. But I was wrong. There are lots of voters out there who – liberal voters, Democratic voters – who categorically refuse to believe – and independent, a lot of independents – who categorically refuse to believe that the Republicans are going to nominate Donald Trump again. It's not going to happen. And we're not going to have the same election we had in 2020. That's just not going to happen. Democrats are going to nominate someone else. The Republicans wouldn't dare nominate Trump again. We're just not going to go through this again. So I don't have to make up a decision. I don't have to choose Biden because it's not going to be that way. And everyone around them was like, yeah, it will. Nope. And they were sure of that. They were as absolutely sure of that as anything in their life. And when it turns out Trump is sweeping his way to the nomination and Biden is, except he's losing a third of his voters along the way. And Biden is sweeping his way to the nomination and can stand up and speak like a grown-up to other grown-ups, then comes the oh shit moment, like, oh shit, I guess we have to choose. I guess these are our choices. I guess, you know, pissing away my vote on RFK Jr. or Cornel West isn't really an option anymore. Mm-hmm. And now that they figured out this is really going to be the election, this is really the choices, one wonders how many people are going to wake up and say, I guess it's Biden. I'm thrilled with voting for an 81-year-old guy, but he seems like he does a pretty good job. He gave a pretty good speech, and fuck no, I'm not putting Trump back in the White House.
Right. Well, let's do a lightning round on some of this stuff.
Sure.
The Marjorie Taylor Greene moment when, you know, she was standing there. Apparently, she waited all day to be able to confront him.
Uh-huh.
She was dressed like she was going to run out to Piggly Wiggly for a carton of cigs and some Red Bull.
Uh-huh.
And with the MAGA hat on in the House chamber, which is breaking the rules.
Of course.
Biden was just so clearly amused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so adorable.
Aren't you adorable?
That was the cutest thing you got to say. Yeah. Next.
And then calling her bluff during the speech and holding up the button and talking directly to the parents. This is a story that was on Fox News over the weekend. According to Decoding Fox News on Twitter, Fox spent 21% of their weekend talking about this woman who got killed by an undocumented person.
Uh-huh.
Who is in police custody, you know, he's been arrested, and it's horrible what happened. But they are, you know, this is their Ashley Babbitt again.
That's right.
And all undocumented people in the country are murderers. So we need, and it's Joe Biden's fault. That's the message.
And he went right at him and said, look, give me the bill. Yeah. You don't think it's conservative? The conservatives put this bill together, and there's all this booing and farting and moving around and shuffling there. But he really had them by the short ones, which was I'm offering to work with Donald fucking Trump. I'm offering to do this right now. Bring me the bill now. Me and Trump will work together on this. What do you think, MAGA? We don't want to have to make that. We don't want to govern. That's the thing. And you know who was hating every minute of it? Mike Johnson.
Oh, he looked pained, very pained.
I describe him in our notes as a character from The Crucible trying to suppress a fart for 2 hours. he's got that prissy, judgmental whiny, and he doesn't know how to look like anything other than a creepy weirdo on camera. He doesn't know when to stop shaking his head or when to stand or whatever. He just looks like, I think, I forget who described him as the fifth string substitute.
Right.
You know, for the speaker.
Which he is.
And he's the best they got.
Yeah.
So... No.
And the SCOTUS stare down was my favorite moment.
Yeah.
Calling out and, you know, Clarence Thomas and Alito not bothering to show up because why would they?
No.
But looking right at SCOTUS and saying, with all due respect, which, you know, that's a Karl Rove way of saying fuck you, with all due respect, and then connecting it to the power and the electoral and political power of women.
Yeah.
Not saying you did something bad and I'm going to fix it.
Right.
Women are going to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Women have the power to fix this.
And you're about to find out.
Mm-hmm. And that's when I tweeted, we're going to bury them.
Well, he did say, if you give me a Democratic House and Senate, I will restore Roe versus Wade.
Right.
But women are going to do this.
This is women's power we're talking about.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then he had the stand up for seniors moment.
Right.
Are we going to do that? Let's do that like we did last year. It's so fun.
Show of hands, everyone who doesn't like seniors and wants to see them die in misery and poverty. Go ahead. Everybody? No, nobody? Oh, okay. I guess we're all in agreement on that then. That's cool.
Yeah. I guess your plan for another cat food commission is going to go down the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Illinois and the Belvedere Auto Battery Plant.
Uh-huh.
Biden highlighted the recovery of the Illinois plant. Unions built the middle class. He talked about how he walked the picket line.
Uh-huh.
Gave a shout out to the UAW president who pointed back at him.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, J.B. Pritzker was at the opening of that Belvedere plant,
yes.
And he couldn't be prouder.
He busted three buttons off that vest.
He couldn't
so
be
proud.
Prouder of Illinois, and their future has never been brighter.
And Biden was right there saying, look, I'm a capitalist. Literally, verbally, that's what he said. But unions built the middle class, you know?
He said, Wall Street's not bad guys, but they didn't build this country.
The middle class built this country and the unions built the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
there's my guy up there and he's pointing back at me. It really did. It went through the entire orchestra, played every instrument, rang every bell. And it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden in this venue is fun to watch because he has this kind of feisty kind of joy. You know, he really does delight in doing this. And it's a pleasure to watch. And I don't know how many of my fellow liberals and Democrats were sort of cringing at the thought, oh, God, is he going to trip? Is he going to do something? But, you know, I listened to this while my eyes were closed the first few minutes. And then I put my glasses on and then I put the television, you know, on. And it was just a blast watching this guy. And you know what? He's given a lot of really good speeches.
Yeah.
And he's done a lot of stuff behind closed doors. And that's what he's talking about when he's talking about the Middle East or he's talking about the economy. All that boring adult stuff involving governing is hard to brag about. But he does brag about it because he loves that stuff. And he talked about it. And he did do the checklist of all the wonderful things he's done. And that's wonderful. But he did it in a context of, look, I'm the most adult person here. And I wanted to bring up the New York Times shitting the bed.
And they really did.
They really did.
You guys, they shit the bed.
And then they backed off.
Which is amazing.
They backed off. And I got to believe, well, I'll let the story tell the story.
And we're going to close with this. But yeah, this is just amazing.
Well, I want to talk after we do this 1 minute about Katie Britt. Just about.
Okay. Okay. About Katie Britt. That's fine.
The New York Times embarrassed itself in an article by two gentlemen who were writing their post State of the Union reaction. And this was a righteous beatdown was led against them by Jameson Foser on Twitter. Now, this is what their original article said. It's a long article, but I'll just quote the salient points. If his primary mission was to avoid a gaffe that would feed into concerns about his age, blah, 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 he succeeded in that mission. But despite a performance that was more spirited than he often delivers, listen to this part very carefully. It was unlikely to quell the concerns, especially from Republicans who have made questioning Biden's competency a centerpiece of their 2024 playbook. What's wrong?
Straight out David Gregory.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Why won't Obama lead?
Right.
You know, why won't Democrats?
How will Biden convince Republicans to vote for him?
Right. People who... And Mr. Foser quite correctly pointed out that this was insane.
Yeah.
That Biden will never be able to quell the concerns of people who are running against him because they're not concerns. They're campaign tactics. And that's not something you can undo because they're out to beat you. And it really is an attempt to recapitulate, like you said, David Gregory and the entire Obama administration, which is where Democrats are responsible for fixing Republican rage and racism and stupidity.
Or failure.
Or failure.
I mean, the big one with David Gregory was them failing to elect a speaker. And over, right. in the middle of that, mm-hmm. David Gregory saying, I'm really looking at Democrats and how they're going to help fix this problem.
That's right. Well, we voted unanimously for our guy.
Yeah.
The six of them have voted for our guy. Hakeem, we have a great speaker.
Gets all of our votes every time consistently.
Yeah. But it's Democrats' fault. It's always Democrats'
yeah.
fault.
Yeah.
And it was so obvious that they were sort of blasting through this article, cranking out the, you know, the standard beltway bullshit. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Fozer caught it. And
yep.
then hundreds of people on Twitter waited like, what the fuck is wrong? What's wrong with the New York Times? Why do you
Seriously.
People suck so badly?
Yep.
Because there is something horribly broken at the New York Times.
There is.
And then I looked it up to make sure I got the quote right. And like, oh, they've changed the article.
They edited it.
They did edit. The sentence in question is now more spirited than he often delivers. And here's the part. It was unlikely that one evening would quell widespread voter concern about his age or change GOP strategy. Republicans have made questioning Mr. Biden's competency a centerpiece of their 2024 playbook. That is a very, very, very different article than the yes. one they wrote originally.
And changing GOP strategy. Uh-huh. Okay, so their GOP is not going to change their strategy. They're going to fail.
Right, right.
So
but it's now the wide. Now it's not. Now it's widespread voter concern. And yes, GOPs have a. But and it's unlikely that one evening is going to quell these concerns.
Yeah.
As
okay.
opposed to yeah. Okay. Whatever.
It quelled a lot of concerns
and
a lot of senators and Democratic representatives are giddy now.
Oh yeah, are just ready to go out and fight for.
They know they can run with this guy.
Yeah. And one of the best parts of the speech was the last part,
mm-hmm.
where Joe Biden, you could tell he slowed down consciously. I don't know if on his notes it said slow down and talk in a deeper voice, because he did. But he just recounted his whole life, you know, how he grew up, where he grew up, what his dad was like, the job his dad had, working mm-hmm. for a living, taking the train, being from Scranton. And he said, well, I'm an old guy. You know, I'm an old guy. I've seen some stuff. But I'm an adult and I know how the world works. And he really laid out his resume and made his experience a virtue.
Mm-hmm.
In a complex world, I've been there.
Because he's seen some stuff.
He's seen a lot of stuff. He's seen an awful lot of stuff. And mm-hmm. it was totally impressive that he ended his speech sort of as a writer in the parallel construction of the beginning of his speech.
Yeah.
It was right out of the gate. You know, my opponent, my opponent, my opponent. You know, the previous guy, boom, boom, boom. End of the speech. This is me. This is who I am. This is my whole life. I've spent my whole life in public service. I know what it's like to grieve. I've been around the block a few times. I want to solve problems because I genuinely believe in this country. And I genuinely believe we can fix things. But
because this is the United States of America.
Yeah. And it was great. It was great to see him hang, as they say, hang a lantern on his age. Yeah, I'm 81. Yeah. You know what? When I started out, I was too young. I was 29 mm-hmm. years old. They wouldn't mm-hmm. let me on the elevator. That's a fact.
Yeah.
And now I'm too old. But you know what? Over the course of those years, I've seen some things and I've done some things and I haven't. And you know what? I was a senator and then I was vice president to the first black president. And now I'm president with the first woman vice president. And he points to his vice president who has done a bang up job.
Yeah.
And did a very good job and looked really good back there.
Yes, like, she did.
Don't worry. We got this shit.
We got this.
I know what I'm doing. And then after.
And I got to say, he's evolved. He's evolved on the Middle East. He has evolved because of her.
He really has. He has moved.
And don't discount that. I know we're all upset about Gaza.
Yeah.
He is evolving. And she is a part of that.
And she is pushing him like he pushed Barack Obama on gay marriage. You know?
Right.
Got, you know, sorry, boss. On this one, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You got to move. And finally, of course.
Go ahead.
The most important part of the evening, after the schmoozing, after the Jerry Nadler making jokes about, you know, cognitive failure and Biden saying, I wish I had cognitive problems because, you know. And just being Joe Biden. He was the most Joe Biden that a Joe Biden had ever been. Then Republicans teed up their response, which is always hard to do. It's very difficult to do. But not since the glorious days of Bobby Jindal has someone been so fucking bad. And it was a lady. It was Katie Britt. And it was terrible.
From Alabama.
It was terrible. She was just fucking awful. She did it from her kitchen. She did the breathy, weeping, almost broken voice of someone who was desperate to get a part on a Hallmark movie and wanted you to know how much and she was worried.
And maybe you'll listen to me and take me seriously if I try to do some AMSR kind of thing with my breathy voice. Yeah.
I'm so worried about America that we need to cut taxes. We need to cut taxes for rich people.
That's what we need to do.
And she was almost too sad to be believed. It was bad. It was very, very bad.
Her fellow Alabama Senator, Tommy Tuberville, said today that, she wasn't asked to do this as a senator. She was asked to do this as a housewife.
As a mother and a patriot. Well, she's none of those things. So
you can't expect too much. She's a fucking senator. She should be able to string sentences together and sound like an adult. Yeah.
Is she a senator or is she a congresswoman?
She's the other senator from Alabama. Katie Britt, senator from Alabama.
I thought she was a congresswoman.
No, she's 42 years old. She was just elected in 2022.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. And
she's from Enterprise, Alabama. And she was picked because she's pro-life. Quote unquote.
She's pretty. She's young, and she's pro-life.
young and a mom, and yeah.
Well, you know what? If she was trying out for a small role in a Hallmark movie where she meets a Christmas tree salesman and leaves her big city job to have 11 babies, she'll do great. She'll get that part. She's not going to be vice president. I believe she was on the short list, the whispered around short list, because she was out of central casting. She blew it,
and she blew it.
To God, it is. It is as if I couldn't imagine. The Republicans fucked up everything.
Yeah.
Everything. They fucked up having the speaker behind there looking like a weirdo. They fucked up their audience. They fucked up not understanding who Joe Biden was and what he would do in this venue, even though he did exactly the same thing to him last year. And they completely screwed up their response to him.
Truth Social was down.
Yeah.
During the speech.
They really don't know how to do politics.
No,
they really don't. And they're suffering from, I'm a little bit biased listening to a podcast about the Russian Revolution, but they're suffering from the Alexandria problem of she and her husband refused to believe what they were seeing.
Yeah.
And they were in the thrall of Rasputin, who kept telling her, you're doing a great job. And they just ignored every glaring red light on the board that told them things are going horribly.
It's time for you to escape now, right?
No, you can fix this. Don't fire your best general. Don't tell people. And they kept fucking up in ways that were completely avoidable. And you realize the people running the Republican Party, people actually running the party, have no idea what they're doing. Yeah. The mob really has taken over the brain of the party.
And their purpose as sitting members of Congress, Republicans, is to provide content for Fox and Newsmax.
Absolutely.
As long as you're talking to producers from Fox and Newsmax all day long, and everybody's happy. You know, oh, no, you're doing great, Jim Jordan. Oh, no, it's great. This will be great. This hearing will be great.
Yeah, it'll work out great.
And it's not. It's horrible. The normies out here in reality world are like, no, it did not go well for you.
No. And all of your witnesses are turning into, running away or turning into witnesses for the defense.
or getting arrested.
Or getting arrested.
By the FBI. By your own special prosecutor who's had it.
And then you go toddling on to Fox. Don't worry. We got this under control. Everything's fine. I'm sure.
Tony Pavlinsky's going to save us. It'll be great.
And you're just looking right down the barrel of a bottomless abyss of failure.
Yes.
And we've said this before. The only thing that's going to change the GOP, the trajectory, we're not going to save it, is losing horribly and repeatedly.
Well, and I made a prediction today. And I'll leave people with this. Uh-huh. My prediction is, if you are old enough to remember 2008, when McCain-Palin lost.
Right.
And it was the very next day, the morning after, when all of the stories came out about how Palin didn't know what she was doing, thought Africa was a country instead of a continent.
Yeah, didn't read. It was a moron.
They had to train her how to answer questions. And it was a flood of behind-the-scenes staffers finally spilling their guts because they could.
Yep.
And that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
On the day after the election this year. mm-hmm. when, and a fingers crossed and knocking on wood and spitting twice and running outside in the snow and all that stuff when Joe Biden's reelected, is you're going to have a flood of quote unquote normie Republicans saying we couldn't win because Trump and Laura Trump took all the money.
Yeah. Well, Trump and
Laura
Trump
didn't know what
money.
She was doing, and Trump didn't know what he was doing. And they'll be talking about the drug use. They'll be talking about, I mean, it'll just, because all of those people, especially the ones who are RNC staffers now, mm-hmm. they still want jobs next summer, the summer of 2025. They want a job in Republican politics.
Well, that's, I think,
and with
that's
this massive fail. They've got to have an excuse, and it's going to be throwing Trump under the bus.
Well, they'll find someone to blame. Yeah. They'll find someone to blame. And yeah. But it really is, you know.
But there won't be any money. I mean, that's the thing. They're going to be bankrupt, Driftglass.
Well, and it's 4 years delayed, maybe 8 years delayed. But there will come a time when all the people will come filtering back to the party as the we told you so
yep.
contingency.
Yep.
You know,
right.
we told you. And that's when all of our allies will abandon us.
Right, right.
And say, you know, well, you know, they'll tear off the rubber mask. You know,
a new Republican Party that will be better, faster, more honest. We need to get back to our Republican principles.
And this healthy country needs two parties. One that fucks everything up and ones that cleans it.
All those checks with the Tea Party. Remember that. They cashed all those checks.
Remembering stuff is what we do. It's not what they do. Sorry. Oh, by the way, probably going to see you all next Thursday.
Yes. No podcast on Tuesday next week.
We just so spent we'll all of our podcast energy right here for you people.
All of
we
our
did it for you.
Dollars spent. Thank Blood. You. Thank you, though. And I have a question for you, Driftglass.
Yeah, beautiful. What can I do for you?
How is Joe Biden doing this week?
Blue gal, Joe Biden is doing just fine.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, lovey dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2024-25, GGBG Productions.